So what we're used to doing is we have a whiteboard and kind of take a few notes as the message goes along, and then I ask people if they remembered it the next week. Everybody looks at the board. Remember last week's message? My neck's hurting already. Let me go up here. Yeah, we could put a whiteboard up, or maybe we could get something that's like they have those tablets where it shows on the screen when you write on them or something. Mark's laughing. So last week, I remember my sheep know my voice, and I was listening to a message, and I heard this, and I replayed it, and I typed it in my phone to not forget. It says, "Sheep know his voice. Our new creation knows words of God. Words not of God, he doesn't know. Guilt, pride, legalism, allurement, which is sensuality that makes you a slave, group rapport, but not going anywhere with God. We should recognize it and say, I don't know you. You know, isn't that good? Like, we know God, and we're walking with God, and we listen to the shepherd's voice. And then the week before, we were talking about Philippians 3, 9, and 10. And having the righteousness from God by faith. Righteousness that comes from God by faith. And we talked about a robe. I don't know if we talked about this or I was just thinking about this, but Isaiah 6, you know, the robe, the train of his robe fills the temple. His righteousness is like full in the temple. And it's him. It's him. And the righteousness, having the righteousness from God by faith, not of our own by legalism, right? And we talked about the brethren dwelling together in unity and this special anointing that comes in that. Like, we're all anointed, right? But there's special anointings that comes on different people for situations. And for sure, when we're in one accord, like when Pentecost came, they were in one accord concentrating on God, right? And we're in one accord agreeing with God and believing in God. There's an amazing anointing that comes. And in that, just the hem of his robe has a healing effect. The anointing breaks the yoke. Yokes of bondage and yokes of sin and yokes of thing. And together, that's why we need the body so much. You know, like the sheep, you watch Wild Kingdom, that's probably dates my age, but what is it, Animal Planet or something nowadays? And you got the wildebeest and zebra. And the lions are looking for one to get away. And if it's sick or young, they'll go ahead and take it. But if it's big, they might wait until it's a little further away. But you get far enough away, it'll attack. You know, and Satan's the same way. When we're together, there's a supernatural protection that's going on that we can't explain. And so today, I want to talk about these two words that I've noticed a connection. And there's, you know, when we notice connections, the thing that might not be the only way it happens. Like strength, I was looking at that song today. It was based on Isaiah. Wait on the Lord. Strength will come as we wait on the Lord. There's a strength in that, right? And one of the things I was looking at today was the joy of the Lord is our strength. There's a strength in that. And so, like, God strengthens us in different ways sometimes. But these two words, one is repentance and the other is joy. And so the some of the things that bring joy to us, to the Lord's people in heaven, to angels, in God's mind and his thought, is someone repenting, which it just means to agree with God when you weren't agreeing with God. You just change your mind and agree with God, whatever it is in your life. And there's a joy in that. These are connected. And this is old. It's kind of a pattern. This is Old Testament, Nehemiah 8:3. I'm not going to read the whole section, but it says, all the people were attentive. So they're in one accord. There you have that. You have everybody concentrating, attentive to the book of the law. Everybody concentrating on the word of God. And then 8:8, they read distinctly from the book And they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. That's teaching and preaching. They gave the sense. And so, and then after that, they said, do not mourn or weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Why were they weeping? Well, first they had the word. Then everybody with one accord was attentive to the word. And then they were weeping. Well, they had just found this book. Because it had been kind of in the temple, the broken down temple. And all the people were weeping because they had a realization that they were wrong and God was right. Like, here's God's word and that's right. And so they were repenting. They were changing their mind and they were weeping over it. And then it says, the fourth thing is the holy joy of the Lord came after that. You know, so Nehemiah 8:10, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions for those who have nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to the Lord. And then the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And the joy is coming from what? From the unity and agreeing with the word of God. And they were repenting. They were changing their mind and agreeing with the word of God that they hadn't been agreeing with. And they were trusting God. They discovered the word. They agreed with it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so you hear and you believe what God has said. Hebrews 12:1-2. This is it's almost a stretch, but let me read it. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily ensnares us. So that's us. But then what do we look at? And let us run with endurance the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God on the throne. Why did he endure the cross? Because he was one with the Father. He agreed. They agree. Why did he endure the cross? Because God so loved the world. And he agreed. He agreed. Why did he endure the cross? For the joy that was set before him. What was that joy that was set before him? Well, one, it was agreeing with God. And two, it's us. Like, souls are saved. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, it's us. And it's the us, it's the unity, and it's this anointing of oneness with the Father brings the joy. And why did Paul preach the gospel and preach about Jesus enduring the cross? Why did he go through what he did? Prison, shipwrecks, stoning, lashings. Why did Paul do that? Because he saw the value of souls, the value that God placed on souls. And he saw that there is a crown of rejoicing. This is 1 Thessalonians 2:19 to 20. And if you look at verse 13, the context is when you heard the word of God and received it. The context is they got saved. And then in verse 19 and 20, he says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For you are our glory and our joy. And that's what was Jesus' joy. The joy that was set before him was the souls that would be saved. So God says your soul is valuable. This is Psalm 49:6-8. Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls is costly. How much would it cost to redeem a soul? It would cost death, and we can't pay it because we already owe it, right? We don't have it. We don't have it to give. But Jesus did. He had the life to give. And it's very costly. Matthew 6:26, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? So the soul's worth more than the whole world, which will burn. A soul has eternal value, right? Don't look at the things which are seen in the world, which is going to burn. a soul has eternal value and an eternal price that was paid. The price is high. So this price, 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, knowing that you were not redeemed with things like gold and silver, corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Jesus. Now, precious is like irreplaceable. It's like a baby, you know, a precious blood of Jesus. That's what God, the value that God says his blood was worth. And that he paid that price. And God would pay this price for you. You're worth that. God would pay this price for the lost. They're worth that. The highest price. The value of a thing is kind of, you know, it fluctuates, right? Supply and demand and all that. The value of the thing depends on, well, what would somebody pay? What is it worth to you? What will you pay? What can I get for it? That's the value of a thing, right? What's it going to cost? And what's somebody willing to pay? Well, we're so valuable to God, he's willing to pay that, the precious blood. The lost are valuable to God. They are a treasure. They're precious. That means irreplaceable, right? And like, aren't we supposed to be treasure hunting? Like in Proverbs, it talks about wisdom. And in Colossians 2:2b and 3, it says all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. And like lost souls that are going to be redeemed are Christ. We're the body of Christ. This is the treasure. This is a treasure, and we're treasure hunters. And people who receive him are precious stones being fitly framed into a holy habitation. Luke 15, why did Jesus eat with sinners? And just a kind of an aside to that, he ate with sinners, but he didn't like eat at their level. It says in Luke 15, they drew near to hear him. So the sinners were willing to listen to him, right? So he ate with them. So don't hang around with sinners and like be on their level and just be partying with them or doing their thing or whatever and say, well, Jesus did it. You know, but they were coming to hear him. They were coming to hear him. And every sinner is welcome to come and hear him. And we should go and tell them about him. And this place should be full of people like us, sinners, right? It should be full. Like, we should be welcome in this place. And why did he eat with them, though? Because of their value. Their value. This is Pastor Shabelli. He started an outreach at a church he was pastoring, and some of the elders said, they're on the front porch smoking cigarettes. And he's like, oh, praise God. Last week they were shooting heroin. You know, it's like they were coming to hear, though, you know, in the own capacity they could. We don't have to clean ourselves up before we come to God. We come to God. And then what happens? Some pastors say, I can't teach grace. Actually, I heard of this pastor one time. He literally said, I believe we're saved only by the grace of God through faith. But I can't teach that because then people will think it's a license to sin. And Titus 2:11-12, it talks about the grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness. How does it teach us to deny ungodliness? Because we want to agree with him because we know he's for us. Grace is like favor or a gift, right? We know he's for us. He wants to give it to us. And then we want to agree with him. We're like, yeah. Romans 2:4b, the goodness of God teaches us, leads you to repentance. The goodness of God. When we see how good he is, we're like, yeah, I want to follow him. So Luke 15, the sheep that was lost, they say, rejoice with me. For I have found my sheep which was lost. Now who's saying rejoice with me? The owner of the sheep, right? Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you likewise, there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. So here you go. You got joy and repentance. together again. There's more joy in heaven over one sin. God is the God of the multitude. God is the God of everyone. He died for the world, but he's the God of one too. He loves you right where you are. He's the God of one. And there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, more joy than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. And if we want spiritual joy and we want heavenly joy, we should pray for repentance. We should pray for people to change their minds and agree with God. Find lost sheep. That's God's heart. The owner of the sheep said, rejoice with me. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And then you go on down in the story in Luke 15. It says, rejoice with me. I found the coin. The lady sweeping the house, I found the coin that I lost. She says, rejoice with me. The owner of the coin found it. It says, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Over one. So like, you want to think with God? This is what's going on in heaven. This is what's going on with the angels. They're agreeing with God, and we agree with God. And this repentance and the joy go together. So our repentance brings joy. We change our mind, agree with God. Like our flesh is like, no, 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 no. And then we repent, and we're like, yeah. And then, but guess what? Somebody else's repentance brings joy too. We're like, yeah, they're agreeing with God too. Yes. And it's contagious, really. And then and then you have the lost son. And what does the dad say to the older brother who was doing everything right? You know, he's doing everything right. He said, you know it's right to have a party. You know it's right. And he agreed, right? Because he knew his dad had taught him. He agreed. He's like, yeah, it's right. He was lost and now he's found. Somebody backslidden comes back to the Lord, there's more rejoicing. They repented and they agree, right? There's more rejoicing. And we rejoice with them. If we're the older brother, we rejoice with them. And this is Acts 20, 23 to 24. Paul, he said, chains and tribulations await me, but none of these things, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. And the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. We all have a testimony, right? We all have a story. We're all clinging to the old rugged cross. We have a story, and it has to do with Jesus. And joy in the gospel. And the gospel involves changing our minds too, changing people's minds, right? They go hand in hand, the joy. And somebody who's walking with God that repents, though, there's joy in that. This is David, Psalm 51, 9 to 13. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, which came by repentance, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. So there's a revival going on. We have repentance. We have joy, which is a aspect of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, right? So we have repentance, and that brings joy. And because David says, don't take your presence from me. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. So we have repentance, and then we have the move of the Spirit. And the gospel is spread. He says, then I will teach transgressors your ways. And then there's more joy. So it's like this cycle. Repentance, joy, gospel, more joy. And we want to think with God, right? Amos 3:3, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? We want to think with God. We want to agree with God. Like, yes. Like, sometimes, like, we need to make up our minds. Like, you know that song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back. Like, we just make up our mind. I've decided to do this. As for me and my house, you know, and I tell my kids, too, like, Like there's things that could tempt you later, right? Well, make up your mind now what you're going to do later. When that temptation comes, make up your mind now how you're going to react to it, right? So make a decision in that. And like, so Amos 3:3, if you want to walk with God, decide you're going to agree with God. And like, if you ask a lot of Christians, like, would you ever be a missionary in Africa? They say, no way. I would never be a missionary in Africa. No, your answer should be, I prefer not to, but if God sends me there, I will go. You know, like, I have decided to follow Jesus, right? No turning back. And so we walk with God. So what areas can we repent? Can we change our mind? Like, sometimes we don't even know them. We have to pray to God to show us, right? Sometimes we're blind. And so let's pray. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. As we wait on you, you'll give us strength, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your joy is our strength, Lord. We want to think with you. If there's any area that we don't agree with you on, we just pray that we'll change our mind and agree with you on it, Lord. And Psalm 139:23-24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You lead me, Lord, and I'll follow. And Lord, if there's any wicked way in us, we change our mind and agree with you on the subject. Search us, Lord. Each of us in our own heart want to walk with you, Lord. If there's any lust or sexual sin, even in our thought life, we change our mind. If there's any gossip, any judgmental or critical attitudes, any lack of humility, any pride in us, we change our mind and see each other in Christ, Lord. If there's any addictions, if there's anything that comes between our walk with you and us, we change our minds, Lord. Anything that we are consumed with or obsessed with, we give it to you, Lord. We change our minds. We want to be consumed with you, Lord. Any greed, any covetousness, any comparing, we change our minds and we're content in you. With the physical body you gave us, with the personality you gave us, with the level of intelligence you gave us, with our houses, with our cars, with our clothes, with our kids, everything that you gave us, Lord, we're content and thankful to you, Lord. Search us, Lord, if there is anything, Lord. We just repent. We change our mind, Lord. We agree with you on every subject. James 4:17, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Lord, if there's a responsibility, a job, if you want us to forgive someone or speak to someone, if you want us to get up and go, if there is some way that you're leading and we have resisted, we change our minds and we give it to you, Lord. Yes, Lord. If there's anyone this morning who's never received Christ as their Savior, just change your mind and receive him. Say, I agree with you, God, that I'm a sinner. I agree with you, God, that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross to pay for my sins and that he rose again from the dead. And I agree with you, God, that it is good and I receive your forgiveness for my sins, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.